This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Today we continue our month-long religion series with a look at women and faith. Women play key roles in religious communities around the world, but some faiths don't let them take the pulpit or key leadership positions. Is this divine law or the legacy of sexism? For more, we've got members of different faiths. Rabbi Capers Fanay is chief rabbi of Beth Shalom Ethiopian Hebrew Congregation in Chicago. Also, we've got Bonnie Hunter. She's pastor of the Friendship Church Outreach Ministries in Capitol Heights, Maryland, and Precious Rashida Muhammad, an author, publisher, and lecturer on Islam in America. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm actually going to start with you, Rabbi. I want to know, your congregation allows women to actively participate in the Torah services, but can they be ordained as rabbis?
Prior to this year, no, women were not ordained in the Black Jewish movement as rabbis. But this year, the academy was opened up to women, and I'm happy to report that here in Chicago, we have our first female candidate who's a freshman in our rabbinic institution, the Israelite Board of Rabbis Institute.
Now, you're associated with a group that actually tries to bring Black people into the Jewish experience. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I work with the Institute for Jewish and Community Research in San Francisco, and we work together to make Judaism more welcoming for not only African Americans, but all people that are interested in spiritual journeys, and we want them to know that Judaism is open to that journey for them to come in and to examine and to experience life in a synagogue. And so our work is really just not aimed at African Americans, but at all people who are on spiritual journeys looking for alternatives in their faith communities.
Precious, I'll turn to you. There's a stereotype of Islam that women are treated as second-class citizens. What do you say to that?
I say that that's not true. Islam does not oppress women. However, there's a difference between Islam, the religion, and what Muslims may practice that may be a misapplication of Islam or a misunderstanding of Islam due to ignorance of their religion or other reasons. In the Prophet Muhammad, may prayers and peace be upon him, in his last sermon, he told Muslims to treat women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and are committed helpers. He is also known to have said that the rights of women are sacred and that we should see that they are maintained. So Islam demands that women and men be spiritual and moral equals, and that their relationship is mutually complementary, and that they be equally responsible for developing public good, and that women are the full sisters of men. But we have to acknowledge that, yes, there are Muslims who oppress other Muslims and who oppress women, but if they understand their religion and they study their religion, then they should know that this is not something that is not acceptable in Islam. And we have many examples of women as leaders throughout the history of Islam to stand as a testament to that.
So, Pastor Hunter, you are obviously, as pastor, someone with the leadership position, Friendship Church Outreach Ministries in Maryland. Your church is small and growing. How did it evolve, and how did the idea of a female pastor come to be acceptable or integral to your community?
Well, when I started out, I came from an organization that did not believe in women preachers. So it was very difficult for me to step into this role. It was okay to teach or to sing and to do the lay work. But when it came to getting in a position of authority, it was not accepted. So when I got the call from God, at that very time, my pastor was being dealt with by God with regard to women preaching. And so he began to allow me to do certain things in the ministry and begin to get a different perspective. But at that time, God was calling me to preach the gospel as well as pastor church. It was a very personal call that I could not fight. And as I accepted the call, I stepped out against all odds, and I became independent because my organization did not embrace it. So I stepped out with 10 members, And now we have well over 600 members and still growing. But it's been very difficult. Now I'm in the same organization that would not accept women pastors. I am the first licensed woman pastor. And last year I was appointed as a district elder, meaning overseeing of churches. So we thank God for progress.
Especially in your role as a district elder, have you ever found some people just don't want to listen to you because you are a woman?
No, it's unbelievable, which I thought that I was going to have that difficulty. It seems as if as we stay humbly before the Lord, he fights our battles. So when I do have a voice, people are listening. I don't have a lot of bashing. I haven't had that, and I thank God that he just didn't allow me to go through that. But I do sense some uncomfortability from some male counterparts.
Now that we know a little bit more about the traditions that all of you come from, where do you think each of your traditions is going? Is it becoming more acceptable for women to take leadership positions that are front and center, not just behind the scenes? Because in many churches, mosques, synagogues, there are women who work behind the scenes, but they don't get a chance to really come up and be part of the worship service. I'm going to start with you, Precious.
Yes, I think that's true that Muslim women, speaking specifically in America, are becoming much more, in the public scene. Although there's been a lot of participation, there's actually a real movement of women. I know that Women in Islam, there's an organization called Women in Islam, who helped to put out a book and a pamphlet. It's called Women Friendly Mosques and Community Centers, and they're working, the whole purpose is working together to reclaim our heritage. So they're not saying we are creating something new. They're saying this is our heritage as Muslim women to be fully involved in the mosque and in all of the full participation of the community. Like in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, women were in the mosque, women were full participants. They were in the main prayer hall with the men. The only time they were separated was during the prayer. They were able to debate with all of the community members, were able to influence the different decisions that were made in the community. So this pamphlet, which has been endorsed by several leading Muslim communities, organizations in the United States, is saying, look, we are reclaiming our heritage. This is, and it explicitly explains, you know, what is our heritage as Muslims, and what is our stance on women and gender and our relationships and in terms of women and gender, and the women with the children, the girls and the boys, everyone should be involved in the community life, and this was the way that it was in the time of the Prophet. So instead of saying we're creating something new, we're saying we're going back and reclaiming, you know, our heritage. And then I should also say, though, that there have, especially in the African-American community, there have been women who are very involved in community life. You have the International League of Muslim Women, which is one of the largest organizations in the world. That was of Muslim women, was started by African-American Muslim women in Detroit. Sisters United for Human Services in Atlanta, very involved in community life. Yefit El Amin, African-American woman at 31 or 32, I think, became the first black female state senator in the United States. My first grade teacher in Boston, when I used to attend Sister Clara Muhammad School, actually helped to found that school. So you have a lot of participation of women. Zakiya Mahasa, one of the first Muslim women in the court system United States.
Yeah. Let me get Rabbi Fanay in here. Are you, in your faith, feeling like Precious does, that there's a return to women being part of worship, or is this really something new?
Well, this is really, for the black Jewish experience, women have always been involved, but they are moving very rapidly to the forefront. In our congregation in Chicago, we have had women that have served as president of the congregation. Our current vice president is a woman. Several years ago, we began doing bat mitzvot. The word bat is daughter, and mitzvah is commandment. This is a ceremony when young girls come to read from the Sefer Torah, which is the five scrolls of the first five books of the Bible, and they read, and they also give their own sermon, so that our congregation, our community, has been moving to open up these venues and avenues of prayer for women in our congregation, and this is also happening throughout the black Jewish movement as a whole.
I want to take a chance to reintroduce ourselves and our topic. You're listening to NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We're talking about women and faith. We were just listening to Rabbi Capers Fanay, Chief Rabbi of Beth Shalom Ethiopian Hebrew Congregation in Chicago. We've also got Precious Rashida Muhammad, author, publisher, and lecturer on Islam in America, and Bonnie Hunter, pastor of the Friendship Church Outreach Ministries in Capitol Heights, Maryland. Pastor Hunter, again, the question, are you moving back to an original state where women were part of a Christian worship in the front, or are you breaking new ground?
I believe that we're breaking new ground because I was listening to the others. And yes, I was in that same arena where we could do a sermon, and that was okay. But the struggle or the challenge is taking the lead role over men and women. And that's a move that's going to be, it's breaking barriers and traditions of men. I'm over men and women, and I just thank God that he's just moving women forward in leadership and authority, and still remaining a woman, not changing the way we are, but using us as the vessels to get his job done in a hurry.
This is a different line of questioning, but obviously in our time and in much of history, different faiths have not always allied themselves with each other. Do women in particular have a stake in trying to create interfaith communities, or do you think this is something that happens in general? I'll go back to you, Pastor Hunter. How do you relate to other faiths? Does your church do any outreach or any conversations with other faiths in your area?
Yes, we do embrace other faiths. I just believe God is tearing down the quote-unquote religion, and we are all the people of God. We may have some differences, but we do have common ground to agree on. And so I don't come with a debate, but we come with the commonality, and we embrace one another and lift one another up for the common call to lift up God's love in the earth.
Rabbi, do you ever get a little bit of static, like, what are you doing creating a Black Jewish experience where there are conversions, as well as I'm sure people who are born into the faith? Why are you moving away from the Black Christian experience or even the Black Muslim experience? What are you doing?
Well, we've considered that Judaism was also one of the faiths of the indigenous African folks that were a part of the transatlantic slave trade. So Ethiopia nurtured Judaism, Islam, and Christianity simultaneously when Islam was first being formulated in the 7th century. Many of Muhammad's followers, the Prophet's followers, escaped to Ethiopia for refuge, and there, along with Judaism and Christianity, Islam flourished, and there were no wars between the faiths there. And here in Chicago, we have a mosque all around our synagogue. The demographics has changed dramatically over the years. As a matter of fact, 2 years ago, during the month of Ramadan, I opened up our synagogue and invited several of my Muslim colleagues to come in. They offered the iftar prayer, and after the iftar prayer, this is the prayer that the Muslims pray right before they break the fast of Ramadan. And then we had a sheikh from Egypt who was one of our speakers. We had Orthodox Black Muslims that were here with us, two imams, and they also spoke, and I spoke as well. So we're working to create an environment where we are able to go beyond religious labels. I think that to face the problems that we're facing in our culture and society today, we must be able to work in interfaith groups with Muslims, with Christians, and Hindus, and it doesn't matter to me. As long as people are serious and they're principled and they're interested in making the conditions better in the various communities that we live, I'm willing to work.
Precious, have you found, at least in your community of Islam, people willing to make the same kind of outreach?
Yes, definitely, especially being African-American Muslim. I was born a Muslim, but a lot of actually most African-American Muslims in the United States have a good majority of their family are Christian. So we already start out working with our communities. And in Chicago, I was born in Chicago, actually, the Inner City Muslim Action Network is very involved there. And that's an organization that is was co-founded by Muslims of different ethnic backgrounds. But they work in the inner city doing a lot of things for the community in terms of prison terms, in terms of housing, free medical clinics, things like that.
And I work with Imam very close, Prashant. Imam and Rami Nashtanshibi.
Rami Nashtanshibi, yes.
He's a very good friend of mine. So we work hand in hand.
Definitely.
And working in our community. We're located not even a mile away from Imam's main headquarters now and their free clinic.
Right. And they just had a couple of weeks ago a huge taking it back to the streets.
Taking it to the streets. I was one of the speakers, along with Imam Warthin Muhammad. We shared the stage together.
And that it takes place in the same park where Martin Luther King marched, you know, in the 60s, and was hit in the head by active white protesters who didn't want to see the community integrated. So, and then you have also in the African-American, in Women in Islam, the organization founded by Aisha Al-Adawiya out of New York. That's an organization that deals with human rights and social justice and not just for Muslim women. Again, International League of Muslim Women, one of the largest organizations in the world of Muslim women, was founded by African-Americans out of Detroit. And that, again, is an organization that deals with community. You know, they help with housing, domestic abuse, the Sisters United in Human Services out
Precious.
Of Atlanta. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I just want to thank all three of you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Peace be unto you.
Thank you. Rabbi Capers Fanay, Chief Rabbi of Beth Shalom Ethiopian Hebrew Congregation in Chicago, from our NPR headquarters in Washington, Bonnie Hunter, Pastor of Friendship Church Outreach Ministries in Capitol Heights, Maryland, and Precious Rashida Muhammad, author, publisher, and lecturer on Islam in America. She's based in Newport News, Virginia. Next on News and Notes, sports agents smuggling Cuban baseball players into the United States, and The Daily Show's Larry Wilmore on the alchemy of news and comedy. You're listening to News and Notes from NPR News.